The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Bellotto, joined as always by Chris Flum. And Chris and I kind of wanted to get together today and look at this draft class and just this offseason in general from a 30,000-foot view. Maybe try to feel out what Joe Shane was really thinking at the end of the 2022 season, a season where the Giants exceeded expectations, not only went to the playoffs, but won a playoff game after defeating the Minnesota Vikings. So, Chris, before we do that, how you doing?
I am doing well. Yeah, actually, sitting here waiting for some thunderstorms to hit. Hopefully, they don't just spring up all of a sudden and just ruin the recording. But other than that, doing well.
We're doing well. And let's take a look, Chris, at the Giants roster heading into free agency. There were a lot of holes. There was a dearth of talent and depth at key positions. And I think it manifested itself throughout the 2022 season. Like, if you look at the defensive side of the football, Giants ranked 28th in rushing yards allowed last season. They could not fit the power gap run. I think it's safe to say, and we'll get to this in a little bit, that Joe Shane really put a high priority on finding key contributors that will help the defensive line, not put Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams out there for the entirety of the game, and also shore up the run defense. But if you look on offense, and this is something that I feel like we have been discussing since Daniel Jones arrived here, probably even before that, the Giants needed to find a way to create explosive plays. We've talked about it so much. They ranked dead last season in explosive plays in totality, which is nuts because there were so many just bad offenses last year. But early on, just in free agency alone, getting Darren Waller as a tight end, but somebody who operates a little bit more like a wide receiver, significantly addresses that issue. And then when the Giants identified Jalin Hyatt, more than likely as the last wide receiver in a specific tier that can help Daniel Jones in terms of stretching the field vertically, they traded up 16 spots to secure Jalin Hyatt. So what is your overall opinion on the Giants going out and finding these explosive playmakers to help take this offense to the next level?
Yeah, it really isn't a surprising move at all. Anyone who watched the Giants knew that unless Saquon Barkley was making somebody miss in a phone booth, or Daniel Jones got loose on what by the end of the season I was kind of calling a deconstructed RPO play. Like those plays we'd see where the blockers would kind of make the C's part, and then the Giants would send the running back, usually Barkley, out into the flat belatedly. That would pull the linebacker out, and there would be nobody in front of Daniel Jones. And then he could pull the ball down and scramble. Other than those two situations, the Giants really were not generating much in the way of explosive yardage, and that really allowed a lot of defenses to just play downhill on them. And even though the Giants were able to move the ball between the 20s, they had a real problem with their drives stalling. And I don't think anybody should be surprised that the Giants really prioritized getting offensive weapons who have the potential to be explosive. You know, we all season long, we were calling Mike Kafka the tendency exploiter. And a lot of that is doing your homework, really scouting and understanding the opposing team. So it makes perfect sense that the Giants would apply that same philosophy to themselves.
Exactly. And also when you add these explosive playmakers, it just gives your running game another life, basically. Like, it's just a fresh breath of air, because you're going to have to align a lot more two deep type of defenses, maybe more quarters, things like that, where there's not going to be as many defenders operating around the box. Not only does it do that, it can help your play action passing attack as well. Because when those safeties come down to execute their run fit, and they're like, oh no, I have Jalen Hyatt streaking past me, I really need to scramble. That's going to basically open up the intermediate over routes and those dig routes that I'm sure Darren Waller is going to be running a lot of. And also, I think we all, if we're addressing the wide receiver position, we must also add that, yes, Sterling Shepard was brought back. I don't know if we can expect anything from him with him recovering from the injury, but the Giants also re-signed Darius Slayton and re-signed Isaiah Hodgins, two very effective players, arguably the most effective players on the offense, not named Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones last season. So they're also coming back, and the Giants got Bryce Ford Wheaton as an undrafted free agent, which is exciting. I don't know if he's going to have a year one impact, Chris, but when you have someone with that size and that speed, and he is frustrating on film, but he can make contested catches. And when you combine all of those factors, he is somebody, at least in training camp, that I'm sure we're going to be discussing a lot of, because, hey, it's a deep wide receiver room right now, but crazier things have happened.
Yeah, certainly. I could definitely see Ford Wheaton. BFW? I don't know. We'll have to work on that, because his name is a bit of a mouthful.
I'm cool with BFW.
Sure, you know, coining it now, BFW. You hear it elsewhere, they got it from us. Yeah, but I could definitely see him making waves in camp and being kind of what, being that kind of camp star that it seems every year we have one.
And I'll say this too. In order to create these explosive plays, Chris, right, in order to allow Daniel Jones to have 2.5-3 seconds to throw the football to help assist these wide receivers to uncover downfield, you need somewhat of an offensive line to protect you. And the Giants last year, their offensive line was not great. I would say they were slightly above average in terms of running the football. They were very adaptive. I love that. They were mobile, allowed Bobby Johnson to do a lot of creative things in terms of running the football. But pass protection, it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. Andrew Thomas was a stud. The right side of the line with Evan Neal, Mark Lewinsky, never really fully, I feel like, got comfortable with each other. And that's not necessarily a slight on them. It's more so, I think, Evan Neal getting injured and then just Mark Lewinsky not being great in terms of pass protection. But now you lose Nick Gates and John Feliciano, two flexible, I would say, interior offensive linemen. And the Giants seemed very comfortable saying, hey, we have Ben Bredesen, we have Jack Anderson, we have Shane Lemieux, we'll figure it out at center, we'll figure it out at guard. And I think to a certain degree, they were comfortable with that. But John Michael Schmitz being available in the second round allowed them to be comfortable selecting that player, bringing him into the building, and now you have that center position figured out. I'm a little concerned about the guard positions. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully Josh Azudu can seize that. But adding John Michael Schmitz, Chris, is a huge win for the Giants offensive line, especially long-term. You have three of the five positions figured out right now.
Yeah, I really think that the Giants' stance on the center position was kind of the most effective bluff they could have done, because that there's not a doubt in my mind that they wanted to come away from this draft with a center. And I really think that John Michael Schmitz was the guy they were targeting. But I also think that based on the way they talked about the cornerback position a year ago, where they said, hey, we are fine with the guys we have on our roster. We don't have to go out and draft a quarterback. I'm sorry, cornerback. Yeah. I think that kind of gave some weight to the Giants bluff, because if they had to go into the season with the interior offensive lineman they already had on the roster, they would have done so, and they would have figured something out, because like you said, the offensive line, it was not great last year. It definitely had its issues, particularly with pass protection on the right side, but by and large, for the most part, it was fine. It got the job done. The Giants were obviously able to move the ball. They were able to run the ball. They were able to execute their passing attack, their passing offense, the way they wanted to do so. So the Giants were able to say, yes, we are comfortable with the centers we have, while also saying, but we'd really like a new one.
And also one that has the mental side of everything down, who can grow with this offensive line, someone who is going to just be a linchpin, really, on the offensive line, something that they just have not had at the center position since Sean O'Hara. Seems like it's just been kind of a revolving door. And I think to a certain degree, Chris, like, Joe Shane was fine with having Ben Bredesen compete for that spot. But when the value falls to a certain point, and we know that Joe Shane wanted John Michael Schmitz in the second round, he said as much. He was like, yeah, I almost traded up for him, you know?
Yeah.
So when the value was there, it aligned. And I feel like you could say that with all three of the picks, with Deontay Banks, Jalen Hyatt, and John Michael Schmitz. The value was just way too much to allow to pass up at that time. He traded up twice in order to secure two of those three. But before we go to our ad break, Chris, there's two other positions on offense that I think the Giants had to at least explore adding competition to. One being the running back room. We do not know if Saquon Barkley is going to be here long term. I think John Mara wants him to be. I think the Giants want him to be, but I just think the price probably needs to come down from what Saquon Barkley was originally hoping. And that's Eric Gray. The Giants added him in the fifth round. And also, I would say we could probably group in a long-term developmental quarterback into this. And I don't know if the Giants have it right now, but they did bring in UDFA Tommy DeVito from Illinois and also from Syracuse, a Jersey guy, Don Bosco prep guy. What are your opinions on Eric Gray and Tommy DeVito?
Well, we'll start with the running back position. I like Eric Gray. We talked a lot about him immediately after the draft. I think he fits into this running back room well. He does not have the explosive potential of Saquon Barkley, but he is a guy who can execute pretty much anything you want or anything you need with any down and distance. He can run between the tackles. He can run off tackle. He can execute a power run scheme. He can execute a zone run scheme. He can be a good receiver out of the backfield. You could bring him on to spell Barkley or Matt Breida, or you could even rely on him if there's an injury. And if the Giants don't get a deal done with Barkley long-term, I would be comfortable with Eric Gray basically being the lead dog in a running back rotation, you know, kind of like what the Buffalo Bills have done up there with their running back room, where basically Josh Allen is their starting running back, and then they just kind of cycle through their other runners. And you're able to get enough production out of the stable that you don't really need a heavy investment, a real workhorse running back. Now, with the backup quarterback position, that's going to be interesting because, you know, Tyrod Taylor is a free agent after this year. Daniel Jones has had had injuries before. So I think having a third quarterback, a guy who can grow with this offense, is going to be important. I don't know if Tommy DeVito's that guy. I am kind of bracing myself for have the Giants found their own Brock Purdy and local legend Tommy DeVito. You know, like I know I'm going to see that headline at some point over the offseason. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens when he gets on the field, particularly once the pads go on in training camp, because, you know, right now he's just going to be throwing one-on-one against air in shorts, and it's easy to look good then.
And what will it look like when Wink Martindale, on the first snap of training camp, puts two safeties in the A-gap and sends them after him, because Wink Martindale is a madman. See how Tommy DeVito deals with that pressure. But that would be a really cool story if he developed and turned into a good backup for the New York Giants, like a long-term backup, which is a very valuable position in the NFL. But Chris, before we get to the defensive side of the football, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, Chris, I mentioned it at the top of the show. The Giants defense, it sucked last year. 28th in rushing yards allowed. There were certain games where they couldn't stop a nosebleed. They couldn't stop anything out there on the ground. And the Giants really poured assets into rectifying that situation because it was the critical vulnerability of the Giants defense last year. They added Raheem Nunez-Roches. They added A'shaun Robinson. They drafted a Jordan Riley in the seventh round. People are like, oh, that's not really, you know, it's only a seventh round pick. I agree, but I also think like he might compete with another day three pick from last year, DJ Davidson, for a roster spot. And Jordan Riley, to me, is a better run defender, at least on tape in college at Oregon. He was, and a little bit of Nebraska tape that I also saw of Jordan Riley. So they really focused on the defensive line, and we knew they had to focus on the secondary. You and I, before the draft, brought up how the cornerback position was our biggest priority. Well, in the first round, they addressed that, and I think they got the guy that Wink Martindale really wanted in Deontay Banks because he is a press man cornerback who has all the man coverage skills you need to play in any technique necessary, outside leverage, inside leverage, trail technique. If you have someone over the top, or if you just want mano-a-mano, Deontay Banks can at least stay in phase on a lot of these really excellent athletes. So what is your overall opinion on how Joe Shane has kind of rebuilt this defense in the image of what Wink Martindale wants in his personnel?
Yeah, I think having that year together to really learn each other, how the philosophies, how they think, how they approach the game, I think that has really helped the Giants. And also Deontay Banks falling and the NFL as a whole being, I think, maybe just a little bit lower on this cornerback class, or perhaps maybe looking at the depth of the cornerback class and saying, we don't have to get one right here. I think that really helped the Giants out. Just getting Deontay Banks, that does so much for their depth, because now they're not relying on A'shaun Robinson or Cordell Flott to be the number two corner across from Adoree Jackson. And then if or when Adoree Jackson gets hurt, you've got both of those guys out there, and then they've both have had injury issues. And then getting Deontay Banks really gives the Giants a cushion, and it lets the other players get the matchups that they should have, as opposed to the ones that they have to take on, if that makes sense. And I think having an athletic, versatile corner out there will really allow Wink to fully unleash his blitz schemes, because down the stretch last year, we saw him really move off of the hyper-aggressive defense, and you know, things started to get tighter. Things got a little hairy, you know, later in games. It worked out with the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, Justin Jefferson, but you know, at other points, we saw the Giants use more zone than I think they really wanted to. And I think a lot of that was dictated by a secondary that was held together by duct tape and bubblegum.
Yeah, not DoorDash people, though. Not DoorDash people, just duct tape and bubblegum, everybody. And the Giants also addressed the secondary by bringing in Trey Hawkins the third in the sixth round, and then Jarvarius Owens in the seventh round. And I only really bring those up, I don't know if they're going to be contributors on the defense. Maybe if they stick on the roster because of special teams, they will earn, I think, a role in the defensive rotation, just because Wink Martindale likes to use every defensive player to their best ability that's on the roster. But I bring it up because Julian Love is probably the biggest loss on this defense. And he was so integral to what the Giants wanted to do, especially after Xavier McKinney broke his hand. So I think Jarvarius Owens, the tackling issues is something that I have a problem with, but he is pretty damn good in coverage and he has good eyes in coverage. Trey Hawkins, that's a cornerback who played outside, but he has like a safety type of body type and a safety type of temperament. So I just wanted to bring those two up as well as just depth pieces. You're just adding young bodies who you can develop in your secondary. And I think that's wise as well. But if you look up and down the defense, Chris, we talked a lot last year about how bad the linebacker position was. Well, adding Bobby Okereke to that group, bringing Jerod Davis back is one thing, but Bobby Okereke to that group and then possibly getting a healthy Darian Beavers back as well, who looked really good in training camp and the little bit of preseason that he played last year, that could really help shore up this entire defense. Because, oh my God, Chris, if I have to see another team run counter and just no linebackers are creeping and getting into the alley and then taking on the blocker and it just leads to these 6, 7, 8 yard gains, if I have to keep seeing that, I might go insane.
I'll be right there with you. You know, maybe we can share a room at the at an institution or something. Yeah, I think Bobby Okereke. Oh, go ahead, man.
Oh yeah. So we all know Okereke is a really good addition for the Giants, but there was this one position group that you and I we discussed before the pot or before the draft that the Giants low-key might need to add bodies to, and they didn't in this draft just because it never really happened, right? I think they know that they could use depth here, and I think they told us as much after the draft, but Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari were comfortable with that when they're healthy. Azeez Ojulari is not healthy all that often, and you have Jahad Ward backing him up. I think the Giants like Tamon Fox. I like Tamon Fox. You added Haba Baldonado from Pitt, who I think could earn a role on this roster as well, and then you brought O'Shane Zimenez back, which I also like that addition, just to bring him back because he gave the Giants valuable snaps last year. But are you concerned at all about the edge depth heading into this season? And do you think the Giants might not have, for one reason or another, done enough to really address the depth of this rotation to allow the Giants to pin their ears back and keep guys fresh on passing downs?
Yes, I do. And basically for the reasons you just stated, you know, the overall depth of the edge unit. Yes, Wink Martindale doesn't place a whole lot of emphasis on edge defenders. He likes to just use a ton of DBs out there and just scheme guys free rushes into the backfield. But I still feel like you need guys on the edges. You can't blitz 100% of the time. You need guys on the edges who can, A, defend the run on the edge, because that was an issue for the Giants at times, particularly when they had to dip down into their depth, because we did see Kayvon Thibodeau develop into a pretty good run defender out there. But across from him, that was a little hit or miss, depending on who was out there. And then, at the ends of games, you don't want guys wearing down. You can't ask two defenders to play all of the snaps and then expect them to be fresh when the moment is the biggest, especially down the stretch at the end of the season, when they've got 14, 15, 16 games under their belt and, you know, well over 1,000 snaps played. So that, I think, is a concern for me. And also just looking back, some of the best defenses are the ones where they can just send wave after wave of pass rusher after you, keep all the guys fresh, and also have a variety of skill sets so they can find the most advantageous matchups to really put the heat on the quarterback. And you know, the Giants, you know, we like Jihad Ward, we like Tamon Fox, but there's kind of a gulf there between those guys and a real starter you want to see out there for significant reps.
One thing I find kind of interesting before we get out of here too, with the edge room, because I'm right there with you. I do think the Giants could use another edge rusher, somebody who gives you a little bit more juice. Maybe I like Azeez. I like Kayvon, but I would like that strong third guy. Right. And I don't know if the Giants have that strong third guy right here in terms of pass rushing. I think Jahad Ward has his role on early downs, Tamon Fox. I think Haba Baldonado can compete for that. I don't think he's going to be a dominant pass rusher, though. And I don't believe O'Shane Zimenez is that guy. Ellison Smith, he has the upside to be the guy. Guy can't stay healthy. But you also have guys on this roster that make me feel a little bit better about the situation because they are really impressive pass rushers, and they know how to get after the passer. They're just not edge rushers, and that's Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. So you add those two into this equation, and it's like at least you're getting interior pressure as well to help the edge rushers possibly get pressure on their own right when it's not Kayvon and Azeez. So I'm not really worried too much about Kayvon or Azeez Ojulari. It's really just when those guys are off the field, what exactly is going to happen. And you also have players like Ryder Anderson, possibly, even though he's bigger and he's more of an interior defensive lineman. But I can see Wink Martindale aligning him if he takes to the coaching and the development on edge in certain situations. He did it with Micah McFadden last year. I think Darian Beavers is a candidate for that. Obviously, Jahad Ward has done it. So there's at least personnel here that you could align in certain packages, because let's not forget, Wink Martindale loves to use these really weird packages where he has 290, 295 pound guys who are up on the edge, like they're edge rushers in 2-point stances. So I think there are at least body types to where you can use and get creative in that situation. And the fact that you have two really good interior defensive linemen who can create pressure might assist you when you at least get creative, because you're not going to be relying too much on those edge rushers to get the pressure in that specific situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and just bringing up the defensive linemen who could be used to get pressure creatively. Caleb Sanders out of South Dakota State, UDFA, he is another guy I just kind of want to keep an eye on through the offseason program, because he is a pretty sudden athlete for a defensive tackle. And he also has a very different body type than anyone else on the Giants roster right now at 6 foot 287. Like he isn't long like Jihad Ward, but he also isn't big like, well, pretty much every other defensive tackle on the Giants roster. Yeah. The Giants have a lot of beef up front.
Hey, they're full of beef, man. They're full of beef. They need to have a barbecue. They have so much beef, but I'll say this. I don't think Caleb Sanders is an undrafted guy. I think he was just a rookie mini camp invite. Did I miss something, and did he get signed?
I don't know. Honestly, I saw him listed as both. So maybe we'll just have to keep an eye on the roster with him.
Okay, cool. I'm on our lads. I don't see him on our lads, but I know like this time of year, things aren't really reported all that well. So we'll have to wait and see. It's very fluid. Exactly. But Chris, anything else on just kind of what the Giants added through free agency and the draft and some of the issues that they rectified over the last couple months? Anything else on the New York Giants in that regard?
No, I'm very interested. I'm really looking forward to seeing how these players are integrated into the scheme and really how the Giants offense and defense take shape over the next couple months. You know, what changes we see as compared to last year, because I don't think you'll disagree with me when I say that Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll, Wink Martindale, those guys worked magic last year. You know, we were among the first people to say the Giants have the best coaching staff in the NFL, or definitely top five, and they needed it last year. So it'll be interesting to see just what they come up with maybe a little bit better and deeper roster than they had to work with a year ago.
I'm right there with you, buddy. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. Please, if you have not done so already, like, subscribe, comment to the podcast. Really helps us get up that algorithm, which is excellent. Also, head on over to bigblueview.com and check out all of our written content. Thank you, everyone, and have a lovely day.